Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Let's dive deeper into this. Joining us now to say Tom Hotline, it's our buddy Peter Burns at the SEC Network. Peter, a belated Happy New Year.
Thank you, my man. It's interesting. I had Greg Sankey on my show just a couple of minutes ago, and we were talking about, you know, hey, what's the next thing for college football playoff expansion? And he goes, listen, we'll meet here in a couple of days. And he's like, I'm ready to make a decision, but I'm not sure if everybody in the room is ready to make a decision. And as much pull and sway as he has, keep in mind that every single person, every single one of these commissioners has equal amount of sway because, hey, if it has to be completely unanimous for them to make a change. And I think that's the big thing that you're finding is right now is that, you know, hey, there's a group of five commissioner. The Mountain West has just as much of a vote as the SEC because if they say they're not going to go down one path as far as expanding or not expanding or how many teams or how it's set up, that counts just as much as the most powerful commissioner in all of college football, which is Greg Sankey.
Can we see a world where Greg Sankey, I mean, granted, they didn't let him into the party, the alliance with the ACC to Pac-12 and the Big Ten, but can we see a world where Greg Sankey is reaching out to the MAC, reaching out to the American and saying, you know what, hey, you guys count too, come and be on my team, and we'll help you all out down the road.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is I think Sankey puts himself in such a position of power that all he needs to do is doesn't even have to kind of signal that, right? All he has to do is say, this is what we want. Because at the end of the day, Sankey has the ultimate position of power here because of how deep and how good you guys were just talking about how the SEC is. Whether, hey, listen, we had an all-SEC national championship game back in the BCS days, right? It was LSU and Alabama, okay? This is the second time a four-team playoff has, you know, featured two SEC teams. And guess what? If it's a 8-team or 12-team or 16-team playoff, more than likely – you're going to have even more SEC versus SEC things. So he doesn't necessarily need to change whatsoever. He can say, guys, I'll do whatever thing you guys want. The only thing that I know Greg Sankey, and he said this, so it's his words, not mine, is he's not willing to set up a system for automatic qualifiers, and it reduces the amount of at-large bids in the college football playoff right now. So right now there's four at-large bids every single year. Doesn't matter what conference you're at, the committee's going to pick the best four. He will never vote for anything that's going to take it from four to two or anything like that. That's why the idea of having eight playoff spots and, you know, five of them going to Power Five teams will never work, because you would have to reduce the amount of at-large bids, and Sankey will never vote for something like that.
You know what? I've already got his argument for no automatic bids. Here's why, Peter, and I have been saying that for years. If you have automatic bids, you end up getting a 6-5 team into the playoff. And I'm going to use the Big Ten as an example. I think it was 2012. Wisconsin got into the Big Ten championship at 6-5 because Ohio State and Penn State were both on probation. That totally marginalizes the entire college football playoff, the exclusivity of it. If they were to go automatic bids, how would you counter that? Would you put in checkpoints or whatnot? I just think it's asinine. Don't do it.
I mean, the original game plan I thought was brilliant. It's the highest ranked team of those conferences, of the top five, whatever, you know, or however they said it.
Conference champions.
Yeah, a conference champions. And if you wanted to do something along that road, that means to say, listen, hey, if the American was good, well, they get a spot. You don't just get a spot because you're the Pac-12, right? I mean, like, you shouldn't get one of these spots just because geographically where you're at, because Pac-12 football and SEC football are not created the same, right? I mean, that's frankly just – I mean, that's just – it bears that out. I mean, just by you look at how much success the SEC has had versus that conference out there. So, again, I think that's the fight. The alliance wants to have everybody together, A, to make sure there wasn't any more defection, like they weren't stealing in this conference realignment. So that was, you know, to part to create the stability. But they want to fight for it. And basically what they may end up doing is what I think the alliance might end up doing is saying, all right, well, if you're not going to give us our automatic qualifiers and the group of five doesn't want that, well, how about we don't expand the college football playoff which will kind of hose the group of five teams? And what if they said, hey, after the end of this contract, why do we need group of five teams anyway? Why don't we just say, hey, you don't get to play with the big boys. We're going to make the new rules in the new contract, and you won't get a part one nickel of this money. I could see the Alliance trying to force the group of five out of the college football playoff.
The Alliance. Those guys. It's like a Star Wars movie, the Alliance, except they're the bad guys.
What else can they do right now when the SEC continues to dominate this way that they're trying to, you know, get together? Then the question is, all right, well, if the Alliance becomes that strong and the group of five is out, why don't they just all create this one Uber conference and the SEC goes pick out a couple more and it's the SEC versus everybody else? And you have, you know, 32 teams or 48 teams in this big type, you know, Uber conference where it's kind of almost like the NFL. I mean, we're already moving that way with name, image, and likeness and free agency in the transfer portal. I mean, is that the end game to where we're going to have SEC versus the world and everybody's going to be able to pay their college athletes? I don't think it's that far out of the realm of possibility after what we've seen the game change in the last 12 months.
Joined by Peter Burns, SEC Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Peter, I like this train of thought. Let's continue to ride this out. We talk about great coaches, and we talk about Bear Bryant. Is he the greatest coach in SEC history? Is it Nick Saban? So on and so forth. What about commissioners? I mean, you go back to Roy Kramer, the guy who invented the conference championship game. You have Mike Slive, who shepherded the greatest period of expansion so far in SEC history. And then you have Greg Sankey, who seems to be reinventing the sport all by himself. How do you rank them?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because all of them are equal and they kind of built the foundation upon where college football is at least, or where the conference is at, right? I mean, don't forget, you know, Mike Slive putting together the SEC Network and how much amount of money that meant for the schools and meant me being employed as well, too. So that was very important.
Very important.
But just, you know, his viewpoint on that. But I think Sankey's legacy right now is, you know, last summer or, you know, summer of 2020 when, you know, the Big 12 or the Big 10 and the ACC and other conferences, or the big Pac-12 and the Big 10 decided they weren't going to play football. It was Greg Sankey who said, no, I think we can do this and I think we can do it safely. I think we go back and look at this and go 18 months down the road, yeah, it was done, right? Like there wasn't this, you know, wholehearted bad situation that broke out. Now, that was a risk, but, you know, he wasn't just kind of, you know, he had some rationale behind it. And he told me something today on the show, which I thought was interesting. He goes, I was worried when I heard from players talk about, hey, if we don't have college football, I'm worried what happens to a lot of these guys who this is what they've lived for their entire lives, right? Like what would happen to these guys if college football or college sports wasn't out there? And that's one of the reasons why Greg Sankey thought it was important to do everything he could to play college athletics. And thank goodness they did it, because once the SEC decided they were going to do it, everybody kind of followed suit, including the Big 12 and the Pac-12. And, you know, they can basically thank Commissioner Greg Sankey for his leadership in college football that year as well.
Are we going to see, and this is a very serious question, I think that would be a very, very impactful 30 for 30 or perhaps a documentary on the SEC Network about Greg Sankey's decision to do that and a dive into the lives it impacted. You know, you've got these guys who are maybe now making generational wealth in the National Football League because they had that season. Otherwise, they go under the radar. Maybe they don't get drafted. They don't get a tryout. They're off doing something else. And just really tell that story. That's incredible, Peter. I hadn't thought of it like that.
Yeah, and I think, listen, knowing Sankey, the only problem is about our 30 for 30s, a lot of times that the SEC, you know, if we're going to do like an SEC storied, they green light it. I guarantee you Greg Sankey would never green light a documentary about, you know, how good of a decision he made, just because, you know, that's kind of the guy he is. And I know, you know, I mean, you got to think of Sankey was not an SEC lifer. Right. I mean, Sankey was a guy that's kind of from the north and, you know, spent some time around the NCAA, and now he became the commissioner of this conference. But he's never been a guy that was born and raised and just, man, he just lived, breathed, and died on every single SEC football snap. He just has got the throne of this incredible job. And that's why, again, I think college football, you know, should move towards having a commissioner of all of college football. College football, at some point, the way it's trending, should break away from the NCAA and say, we're going to do our own thing. And I don't think there would be a better person at the helm of that then would be the most powerful man in college sports right now, which is Greg Sankey.
Joined by Peter Burns, SEC Network. Follow him on Twitter at Peter Burns. And, Peter, there's still one game to be played, obviously, and it happens to include two teams from the SEC, but I don't think it's premature now to put a capstone on the 2021 SEC season. When you look back at everything that occurred from week zero to the national championship game that's about to be played, what are your three biggest takeaways with regards to the conference?
Obviously, take the success of Georgia and Alabama out of it. I think it's how quickly teams can falter. Think about LSU 2019 winning the national title, one of the greatest teams we've ever seen in college football. And you would think, all right, they'll just wash, rinse, repeat. They didn't. And now you've got Brian Kelly taking over that job. I think that was a big takeaway. To me, the job that DJ Durkin did as the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss, everybody wants to talk about Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral, but without Ole Miss's defense and how well they played this year, I don't know if they make a Sugar Bowl. And now we're seeing the news that DJ Durkin may be going to Texas A&M as their new defensive coordinator as Mike Elko left that position. So I think that was a big turnaround. And I love the new blood that we have in here in this conference. I mean, look what Josh Heupel was able to do offensively over at Tennessee. Look at Shane Beamer and the amount of success that he had over in year one, even Sam Pittman in year two. Overall, the SEC is just in a good spot in the tiers, right? You have your contender tiers. You have your old teams that are trying to make another jump right now. And, again, it's just I wouldn't want to cover any other place right now because it's fun as hell to watch.
And then you've got Kentucky just kind of doing all kinds of stuff just really under the radar. We never talk about it.
And thank God that Florida State screwed up. A couple years ago, yes. Florida State interviewed Mark Stoops, who was a former defensive coordinator with the Seminoles. They had him. They didn't even think about offering him the job. They just basically kicked the tires because they wanted a big-time coach. Well, they went with Mike Norvell, and how's that working out for him? And I hope Mark Stoops stays in Lexington. I hope he kind of bucks the tradition and he says, I'm going to get paid here a lot. Let's create something awesome because he might be one of the best stories in the last 5 years of college football.
Well, you know, Kentucky is a football school now. It is officially a football school, Peter.
All joking aside, that is one of the best gigs because you're under the shadow of, the big sport, which is Big Blue Nation football. You don't have the pressure when things are going bad, but you get all of the love when things go well, and you're paid just as much as all the big-time college football coaches without a lot of the pressure. Hell, that might be the best gig in the SEC when you think about it.
No, I think Peter Burns' gig at the SEC Network is the best gig in the SEC. Speaking of Peter, when can we see you again? What are you working on?
Working on tonight. Just finished my radio show. I will be doing SEC basketball stuff tonight. And it's chaos for basketball. We saw Vanderbilt just go on the road and beat Arkansas in Bud Walton Arena. Scottie Pippen Jr. Was incredible. So, it doesn't stop. It's not just the SEC in football. Now that basketball has taken a step up over the last 3 or 4 years, they've got a bunch of title contenders, including, hell, we might see Auburn end up winning it all this year.
And real quick, Peter, I'm watching the Kentucky-Auburn game. I've got it on the radio. I'm listening to it. I was 100% convinced that they had already named the court at LSU after Dale Brown. I was mistaken.
It had taken a while. Finally, they got that done. I'm glad they did it because Dale's one of the nicest guys, and he's a legend. So it was a long time coming, and again, it was a good win, right? I mean, LSU right now, beating Kentucky, even though Ty Washington and Xavier Wheeler were down for injury, that was a huge win for them. So, again, there's probably 4 or 5 teams, if we look at the SEC basketball tournament this year, at the end of it, if we said one of these 4 or 5 teams are going to win it, normally it was only, Arkansas or Kentucky. And so it's even more well-rounded and part of the reason why Sankey has done a lot of success, bringing some success on that aspect of it.
You can follow Peter Burns on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Peter, appreciate you hopping on, pal. Let's chat later.
Anytime for you, Scotty. See you, bud.
Thanks, man. It's Peter Burns, SEC Network, joining us on the Saitama Hotline.